Are you struggling to believe that there is a purpose for your life? That after all you've been through, seen, or done, that there is a chance you'll ever find peace and wholeness again? Welcome to Love and Beloved. This podcast explores what matters to us the most. Overcoming adversity, success stories on relationships with God, ourselves, and others. Now here is your host, Lena Cibula.
Welcome to Love and Beloved platform. And you guys can listen to this podcast episode on iTunes and Spotify, and honestly, like in any platform that you prefer, listen to. Plus, this episode actually gonna be on YouTube as well, because I don't know if you like me, I really like to watch the videos and see these pretty guests, and it's awesome. And this episode, by the way, guys, it's not for kiddos. So if you have a little ones running around, make sure that you take some discretion, because we're going to be talking about serious topic of the porn addiction. And honestly, porn is widespread means of dealing with different sexual desires. And I just Googled that on Pornhub, the world's largest porn website alone, well, over 90 billion videos and viewed daily, more than 64 million visitors. It's crazy. And as you might know, I was looking into these issues because of the human trafficking. But today we will talk about how damaging it's to individuals who consume this and how it affects the families and marriages. And for a while, I wanted to bring the expert to talk about this topic. And honestly, guys, today our guest, Kirsten DeSamuel, and she understands firsthand the shock and pain of discovering this spouse's porn use. But this is going to be a conversation of hope, forgiveness, and overcoming. So welcome, Kirsten, to Love and Beloved podcast.
Thank you, Lena. I'm so excited to be here with you. And I'm so impressed by your story of recovery and salvation and being remade and renewed and becoming the woman that you are. And thank you for speaking out on these important subjects.
Thank you so much for your kind words. Honestly, through my story and my life, I realize we're all suffering. We all have trauma. And I believe you have to hate the sin, not the person.
Amen.
And, I'm a woman of faith, and I believe we can deal with the issues and actually support people, because I'm a product of that environment and I've been loved. And I think that's what changed my life. But please, Kirsten, tell us a little bit about yourself and what led up to this.
Well, I am a coach and an author and a speaker, and this is my story. This is part of my story. It's not the ending. It is just a piece. And that was 16 years ago. My husband came home from work one day and told me that he had been caught looking at porn. And as the story unfolded, he told me that he'd been struggling with this since he had been exposed at the age of 5. Statistics tell us today the average exposure for children is 8 years old, whether you're male or female. That today is the average exposure rate. Well, that bombshell set off a series of events in our lives, and I immediately went into a very dark place of, first of all, disbelief that he was doing this and feeling pretty stupid that I didn't know. I didn't see the signs. I didn't recognize what was going on. But you know what? Here's the good news. And this is what we want to focus on, the hope. As devastating as this was, and it was horrible, and the recovery process has been long and grueling. But God had already put people in my life, in our lives, to help us through the process, to give us hope when we needed hope. And that's what I want your listeners to hear today. Was there's still hope. This doesn't have to mean the end of the relationship. It can, but it doesn't have to. And my story is one where it did not end the relationship.
Yes, it's beautiful that it didn't, but it takes so much courage to actually stand by the person that addicted. It wasn't important for me, but I have like all the different kind of addictions. So I do understand. Would you share what really helped you not to give up on your marriage? Because there's so much trauma, betrayal, and hurt that most of people, and offense as well, that most of people say, like, just like, oh my gosh, you broke my heart, we're done.
Yeah. And he did. And he, you know, he broke my heart. And I think that's the hardest conversation I have with every woman that I talk with, is the broken heart, because I understand, and I've been there. And I didn't immediately want to stay. I didn't trust him. I didn't believe anything that he was telling me from that moment on. But I believe that God spoke to me right away, and he gave me a name immediately to call. And that first step of courage, Lena, was to make that phone call and say what I did not want to admit. I didn't want to say. It was very difficult to open my mouth and say, my marriage is in trouble. We need help. My husband is looking at porn and I don't know what to do. And that phone call really helped me kind of get a semblance of, okay, there's hope in the future. Because as we met with this, this one couple that, again, the Lord gave me the woman's name, and she and her husband met with us. Both of them are counselors. And they said to us, this can't continue. First of all, this is a problem. It's a big problem. It cannot continue, but it doesn't have to be fatal. But you have some decisions to make. And the two of you are going to need some immediate help. And the courage came in accepting those words. And instead of doing what I wanted to do, which was to get the car keys and get in my car and drive until I ran out of gas. That was literally what I wanted to do. But the courage came to say, okay, what do we need to do right now? And then to make those phone calls. And for my husband to have to make the calls he had to make, for me to realize I needed help, which I didn't realize immediately. I thought I was doing all of this for my husband, you know, because he needed to be fixed. He needed to get over this issue. But what I didn't realize was the pain that was in me and what his admission had caused in me. So he immediately started meeting with a counselor. Within 1 week, he had a meeting with a counselor. And then that counselor referred him to another counselor who specializes in sex addiction. After he met with a second counselor, he came home and said that counselor wanted to meet with me as well. And I was very nervous about that, but I did go ahead and do it. And it was in that first meeting with that counselor that I realized I could take a breath, because he understood where I was coming from. He understood. He could put words to the pain that I couldn't put words to. And then we also started meeting with a group of coaches. We called them a restoration team. And their whole thing was they met with us every week. And they began to help us process through the things that were really not good in our marriage, even though I thought our marriage was pretty good. But they weren't good. We had communication issues. We had things we were not being honest with each other. You know, he was hiding his porn addiction. I was hiding sexual abuse, you know, and I didn't know how to put words to that. And so I just thought, if I kept running, if I kept going, if I just didn't tell anyone, then I'd be okay. And I felt like if I ever voiced that one, I would just implode. But two, I would be so rejected. No one would ever love me again.
Isn't that, was the universal lie? Yes, that's what I was thinking about. Actually, a few things, like if it's okay with you, I just want to unpack this, because so many good things that you say. And I was thinking about the fact that if you guys would not reach out for help, because it's an issue lots of people would hide. Like, for example, being embarrassed to tell someone that my husband struggled with porn addiction, because like women can think, oh my gosh, that means something wrong with me or something, right? like all the bunch of lies. And when people hide, because it's wrong, and no matter your brain, you know, your faith, you still know right and wrong, and you know this is not okay. So by hiding in that issue, I like, is it safe to say your marriage might not survive and just explode and fall apart with the lies, resentment, and all the stuff, the burden from both of the sides? But instead, you almost brought whole community to rebuild that relationship while you two broken. There are so many healthy professional people who deal with that on a daily basis and make you realize that it's not you are special. This is not happening to you or to him. This is like human problem. Our desires just got messed up, and there's hope.
Yeah. No, I don't think that we would be married today. In fact, when I wrote my book, Choosing a Way Out, which is a story of what happened. And I really wrote it for me just to get it out. And, you know, I said, if nobody reads it, it's fine. Cause it was me getting it out, me processing through the story. But I realized as I was writing that book, we are where we are today in a healthy relationship. And yes, I'm married to the same guy. And I love to tell that part of the story. I love it when I'm speaking and he's there and I can point him out and say, this is the same guy, but we're not the same people. And we would not be where we are today had we not gotten the help that we needed immediately. If I had tried to stuff it again, like I had been stuffing the abuse from the past, I think I would have, like I said, what I wanted to do was get in my car and drive till I ran out of gas. And I wanted to do that for several months, even though we were getting help. And it was about 3 to 4 months later that all of a sudden I realized we're going to be okay. It's not going to, this, we're in the beginning of the healing process, but we're going to be okay. And here's why we're going to be okay, because I'm doing the work I need to do. And I'm realizing that my identity, like you said, I felt like, you know, what is wrong with me? I couldn't breathe. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't figure out how many times I had failed and all of the failures. And of course, all of those lies that you said kept coming back and kept beating me up. And I remember one day driving home from work and the lies were so strong. And they were almost, I could hear them out loud. They were that loud. And I remember being in my car and I was just crying and I was screaming against those lies. And I kept saying, I am not that. I didn't do this, you know? And I remember, and I was really angry with God at that point. And I yelled, you know, I screamed at him and I said, you could have prevented it and you didn't.
Okay.
Why not? What's wrong with me? And what I didn't understand was this was grace to allow me to deal with the things I hadn't been dealing with. And it was grace to get this issue to the forefront so that my husband could heal and he could discover why he was looking at the porn, what was drawing him to it. He could get the help he needed, but I could get the help I needed so that we could actually have a relationship that's a lot of fun. That's really honest. He's my best friend now.
Isn't that interesting? It's almost like, I don't know, is paradox like right word for this, you know, or oxymoron or whatever like you want to use. I'm trying to figure those words with my language, but the fact is like, it's bizarre that something bad have to happen that healing would be happening, because without this discord and chaos and destruction and this brokenness, it would never come to life. Maybe
no.
You would still hide in your lies, he would still hide in his burden. And this trauma, just like, it's not because we are bad or any different, we just with our own experiences, with our own trauma, and with the lies being rejected, abandoned, broken, we are living those lives, you know, in our own kind of like bubble, and we're doing everything right as a husband, wife, parents, and all this stuff. We just like, I believe we're just trying to survive, trying to figure out the marriage, try to figure out the children and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I do believe we're never really looking into ourselves to heal ourselves, because everything is okay. Like mm-hmm. you're saying, oh, our marriage was okay. He's saying too, our marriage is okay, like good enough. And I think that's what the saddest part, until like everything explode, and it's like the like gunshot wound, you know, getting mm-hmm. infected, and you putting band-aids on, mm-hmm. and you're like, yeah, it's there, like, but it's okay. It's painful, because it's how terrible to live with this,
right,
with your abuse and burden, like of that past, with him like hiding this. I bet it's like terrible to come back to wife and with all this nonsense in head, like there is no peace, no joy, I bet, because I know I've been married and we had 3 kids, and I suffer with the postpartum, and I didn't speak about my past for 20 years. I know how it feels, and it has to almost like pull out that band-aid with blood and pus and disgusting stuff coming out in order to heal.
Yes.
And it's so interesting that this is the process. And I bet, like, I had those situations as well. And I bet today you saying to everybody, like, I'm glad this has happened, because it's so much better than it was before. And I didn't want this to continue to another 10, 20, 30 years, maybe take it to the grave. Mm-hmm. What kind of life would be?
Yes. I consider it, like I said, I think it was grace poured into my life, poured over me, because I never would have spoken.
Mm.
And my husband tells, you know, in other, when we've done interviews together, he says he just thought he could keep running.
Mm.
Now, and the thing is, that's what we think. Like you said, we just think if we keep going, we're going to be okay. We can keep this thing, you know, but the illustration I love is, you know, the big, big beach balls that are filled with air, you know, those big, massive things. And I remember as a kid having them and trying to hold them under the water, you know, well, you can't for very long, because then they shoot out and, you know, there's water going everywhere. And of course, as a kid, that's hilarious and it's fun. Yeah. And it is fun, but that's what it's like to try to keep this secret. You know, it's like trying to hold that beach ball underneath the waves in the ocean. And you've got the motion of the ocean going on. You've got the, you know, the movement of the water, and you're sitting there trying not to swallow water and hold this thing down.
So much effort.
So much effort.
Yeah.
And you know, what I discovered when this secret came out was, all of a sudden I felt free. I didn't expect that at all. I thought I was going to feel condemned. I thought I was going to feel worse. I thought I was going to feel like the lady with the scarlet A on, you know. I mean, I thought that all I would see in people was, you know, shame. It would just be poured shame upon shame upon shame. And they would blame me.
Mm.
And others, some did. Some did. Let's just be honest, because they don't understand. They didn't understand. And it's okay. I don't expect them to understand. But what I felt the most was freedom, because the secret was out. I didn't have to hold that stupid beach ball underneath the waves any longer. And once the secret came out, it was like, well, how can it beat me up anymore? It's out there. You know? And I remember the day that when I published the book, I mean, I could hardly do it. I fought, I cried, It was 10 years after all of this had happened. And I remember calling my husband saying, I just can't do it. I can't submit it for publication. And he said, yes, you can. And it's time. And I was so afraid of managing my image and his image, you know, that whole reputation image management thing, that I didn't want to do it. But again, when I finally hit that button to say, I'm going to let this story be told, there was just this, I can't be beat up by it anymore. And that's where the freedom comes.
And is it so interesting how you have those thoughts of guilt, shame, and condemnation, and it's coming back as like story of salvation, redemption, grace, overcoming adversity. Wow. Like when it's in darkness and hidden, it's all that. And then when it's coming out with the freedom, it's completely different experience. And you're like, what? I did not expect that. And then I bet the people who came into your life and now with your coach and all these women definitely can relate, because you know the pain and shock, and you already on another side, and you have this amazing story. So they want that when they still broken, still in this struggle. And I would ask the next question, how would you trust your husband again after this betrayal?
That is such a key question. Thank you. You don't right away. And this is what one of the things that is such a struggle. It is a day by day choice. Sometimes it's a minute by minute choice, but it also trust is not something that you can demand from another person. Mm-hmm. Trust has to be earned. And the way that we started to build trust was little things. Like he never got on any internet enabled device unless he was in the middle of our living room, you know, where anybody could walk by, our kids, me, whatever, we could walk by, look over his shoulder and see what he was looking at. He gave me access, all of his passwords to every single account. With the help of our coaching team, we had to, he did, and then I did, we had to lay out everything that we had. Every social media account we were on, every, you know, we started tracking all of our online activity, which sounds like, you know, when I say that to people, they kind of go, ooh, I don't want to do that. And I said, well, if you have nothing to hide, what does it matter? You know, but it became a layer of accountability for us. It was personal accountability. The other thing was trust is built in these small moments. If he said he was going to be home at a certain time from something, he was home. If I said that I was going to choose to trust him, and it really, really came when he started traveling again for his business trips, because I couldn't just walk in and see what was going on. But he would call me on a video chat, and he would take the remote to the TV, and he would take it and give it to the housekeeper and say, I don't want this in my room. So the TV didn't go on. And, you know, he had his laptop there, but he was tracking everything. And if I wanted to see those reports, which I didn't on a regular basis, they went to a couple of men that he trusted and that I trusted. They would look at those reports every week. But I could see him if I wanted to. I had to make those decisions to trust him. I had to make the decision that I was going to be honest about him. If I was struggling trusting him that day, if I was saying, you know, you said this, and I don't know if it's the truth.
But you actually like spoke up about it.
Yeah.
So it's communication on top of it.
And
we had the feeling on a hunch, and you have to explain that as well to put you at ease.
Yeah. We also, when we met with the counselor, we also had what a lot of counselors term a discovery session, which is he had to tell everything. Go, you know, and the counselor would keep asking questions. If I had questions, I could ask them. Mm-hmm. But the counselor would ask these questions about the addiction. What did you look at? Where did you go? Did you ever go to a strip joint? Did you ever act out on this physically? Have you had an extramarital affair? All of these questions. And they were asked to me as well. So we both had this session, and it was a very painful session. But the whole point of that is because when you've been betrayed, you have all these questions running through your head. Like, what else is there? I kept thinking, when's the next shoe going to drop? You know, what's going to be the next thing that's going to come up and smack me in the face? And is it going to be the thing that puts me down forever type thing? And having to bear that, having to get that all out was extremely difficult. And that's why, you know, I was so thankful we did it with our counselor. And I always recommend that you do this with a professional, not just the two of you, because it's so incredibly hard.
Yeah, very smart. You need mediator. And plus, I think professional, they know what kind of question and how to kind of like control environment, because I bet when the feelings run high, you can get like into offense, defense, and all that stuff. And it's not going to help marital relationship.
He knew when to say, okay, we need to take a break because you're both at a point where, and it was both of us, you know,
absolutely.
And so that began to build our trust, but it's built in the little things. Like I said, I can't say to you, Lena, well, you just have to trust me.
Yeah.
No, I don't, you know, and often I think we are told and we don't understand that forgiveness and trust are two different things. We forgive the other person, whether they deserve it or not, simply so it sets us free. It's not to set them free. It's to set us free. But the trust is built in the actions day by day. And words are cheap. You know, you can tell me, you know, I could sit here and just tell you, well, I'm making this much amount of money and all this other stuff. It may or may not be true. But if I see it, if I see the evidence of it, you know, I equate it to with my kids, when my kids would lie to me and I'd catch them in the lie. Well, the next time I didn't believe them. And they would have to show me that they were being truthful. You know, we all know when somebody's telling the truth most of the time. We all have tells when we're telling a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And so trust is built when those tells start to disappear and we can look each other in the eye. And we spent a lot of time over an 18-month to three-year period where all we did was go to work, have counseling sessions, meet with our coaches, and do the homework that they gave us to do. And every evening, we had set aside a time. It was like 8 o'clock at night. We would sit down in our living room and face each other and ask each other the hard questions. And we had to listen and we had to learn to talk through the issue instead of running away from it, which is what we had been doing.
Well, this is amazing. It seems like both of you were invested into saving your relationships. But I would ask you about the people who are so broken with shame, guilt, and condemnation, and maybe they don't have faith, and maybe they didn't have help of the counseling or therapists or whatever professionals. And then when they do, one of the spouse just not doing it. Like, what then? Where you say, this is enough and I'm done? Or like, I try to do something by myself? Because it seems that this is issues that have to be come from both sides to actually make it success. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that is another really tough question. And I deal with that one a lot. And what I tell women is you can't fix him. He has to want it. And if he doesn't want it, then you have some choices. See, a lot of times we think we're trapped. We don't have choices. And the choices are not necessarily easy. they might cause more pain initially. But my first question always is, are you safe in this relationship? Because if you're not safe, and you know this, Lena, if you're not safe, you need to get to a place of safety. So that takes courage right there to admit it. You know that. If you're safe, then you have to start saying, you know, what do I need to see in this relationship to make it worth it for me to stay? And it becomes then becoming that that woman who knows who she is, not in an arrogant way, but has the confidence of knowing that she is significant simply because she is on this earth. It doesn't have anything to do with how she looks. It doesn't have anything to do with her weight. It doesn't have anything to do with, you know, her abilities in the corporate world or at home or anything like that. It doesn't have any time, you know, how much sex she has with her husband. That's not her significance. Her significance is simply in the fact that she is a human being who has been created specifically for a specific purpose on this earth. And my goal is to help her figure that out as a coach, to come alongside and to help her figure that out, to help her understand where she maybe still has those lies that are going on in her head. And how do we replace those lies with truth? And how do we then walk in the truth? Because it's okay to know it here, but you got to walk it out. Again, these actions. And at that point, she's going to know either her husband or her significant other, if they're not married, but they're, you know, they're living together, they're sharing life together. He's either going to want to get on board with who this woman is because he realizes what's happening, or he's not. And then you've got some decisions. And I can't tell you how to make those decisions, but I believe when you do the work you need to do for yourself, you're going to know those decisions. Just like you knew to the decisions to make, Lena, in your situation. They were not easy, but you knew what to do eventually. And they all have consequences. Every one of our decisions has consequences. And we have to think through, if I do this, what could possibly happen? If I don't do this, what's going to happen? But what I do know is you can't stay where you are. You know, I like to say normal got you where you are today. You're normal. So the normal doesn't work. So we have to figure it out.
What's really good that you giving this advice, and thank you so much, Kirsten, for that, because working on our self-identity rather than try to fix another person, that's very important. Take the ownership for our lives, because honestly, this is only one thing we can have control over. So that's really good that you point this out. So I would like to actually little bit start the conversation in a different way get some of more information.
Okay.
So would you be able to tell us what is porn and why do people watch pornography?
Porn is, for me, I had to come down to a very, very tight definition for myself. And that is anything that I take in, whether it's music, whether it's a book, whether it's video, whether it's a movie, anything that I take in that causes me to trigger sexually and it's not related to my husband. If he's not the one that's triggering me, then for me, that is pornography. Now, that's my definition of it, which is very narrow. And I admit that, but I actually had to come to that point as part of my healing. And so what that has caused me to do is really be careful of everything that I'm taking in. I mean, there's some songs I used to listen to when I was younger, and we were listening to an oldies station, in the last few months, and this song came up that I used to love, and I started listening to the words and I went, oh my goodness, that's pornography. He's talking about, you know, having sex with a woman, but he's also talking about rape, and he's talking about beating her. And the way he's speaking about her shows that she has no value to him. And he's gloating about it. And I was like, oh my goodness. So we turned it off. You know, I mean, it was just like, all of a sudden I started hearing what I had not been aware of. So that's my narrow definition. And I'm sorry, what was the second part of the question? I just blanked.
Oh, good. Why do people do it?
Why do they do it? There's a lot of reasons for that. According to our counselor and some other counselors that I talked to, usually pornography has become a medication of choice. Something happened in a person's life that hurt them, that wounded them.
So it's almost like coping again, like drugs, booze, and all that stuff.
Right. Sometimes it can come from like with my husband being exposed as a young child and not really knowing what they were seeing, but it triggers like with other addictions. Some people are really prone to become addicted to something and some people aren't. They can be exposed to it and walk away, you know. Smoking is an alcohol. Some people could have a drink and never faze them. They wouldn't crave it. They wouldn't desire it. But somebody else could do the same thing, identical situation, and all of a sudden their body, their chemistry in their body triggers. That's just what happens with some of us. And so, like I said, the reason somebody could become addicted to porn, that they seek out porn, there's so many reasons. And that's why when I'm working with someone, most of the time, I would say 99% of the time, I'm going to ask them, have you met with a sexual addiction therapist or counselor? And if they haven't, I'm going to recommend that. Simply because we don't want to change behavior. I mean, we do want to change behavior, but we don't want to just change behavior. We want to change the heart. We want to find out what is going on, because the behavior is the tip of the iceberg. We want to go down to the source and we want to say what's going on. It's like for me, my struggle with food all of my life is related to, I can trace it back to my first abuse episode. And so this happened yesterday. Something triggered me and I had to fight all day long to not go in my kitchen, because I knew the food wasn't going to solve the problem that was going on in me. I had been triggered and I had to deal with that in a healthy way. I had to take and use the tools and the techniques that I have been taught to help me process through what that trigger was and to realize, no, that triggered a lie. This is the lie. Here's the truth. There are other things that you can do right now. You've got all this energy that's going on in your body. Go walk. Go up and down the stairs a few times. It was really cold, so I didn't want to go outside. You know, go up and down the stairs a few times. Go walk around your house. Whatever you need to do, the food is not going to do it. It's only going to make it feel worse. But that's my choice. And so I have to take those tips and techniques and start to apply them and go through this myself. So,
awesome.
Yeah. Did that help? Did that answer?
Yes, absolutely. And it's really good advice. I think self-awareness, it's a huge one. When you know what you're dealing with, and I like how you said, we're looking at the core, not what already happening right now, because there's somewhere it started long time ago and you can trace it if you look into it, not just of this outcome. So when you're aware, you can look for strategies, services, resources, because if you don't want and don't feel good about what you're doing anymore, like the door's going to be open and people going to come and you're going to hear these messages and help. Absolutely. Another thing, like I want to tell you guys, porn, the sex, it's really not like that. Everything, it's this fantasy. And it's really harming and disturbing, especially for young people who have like no idea what it's all about yet, and they're already like confused with so many different things. When it sees, it's exactly like drug. It's messing up with your psyche. It's very difficult to have a good relationship then with your spouse, friend, girlfriend, anyone, because you have this unrealistic expectation and really perverted ideas and fantasies. And it's truly, I do believe, creates harm on soul level, because yes, then it's adding shame, guilt, and condemnation of doing something wrong. Then when you actually fell in love and getting married and have the making love, not having sex, but making love with your spouse, with the feelings, with the attraction, mutual attraction and consent and love, and like honestly, there's nothing compared to that,
right?
You know, so whatever you see, watch, and all those like actors do, like whatever, this is not the real thing. So if you caught in this trap, I just want you to know there is hope and help. And you are not alone. Like, you just like heard the statistics, like something like 60 billion of people like are doing all 60 billion views. So, you know, it's not you. This is happening. And especially now in the age of internet and social media, we're tracking all our stuff for our kids, because when they were young, like they stumble with like Googling one word, they stumble on stuff that when I saw the history, I thought like I want to throw up. I was heartbroken that my poor little kid stumbled on something so terrible, and I was on my knees crying in front of her, and she was terrified that she saw something that like broke her innocence. And I said to her, I'm not, this is not going to be punishment and consequences, because I know you already suffered enough. But since that day, and thank God that it happens, because we lock all our three kids' iPads, phones, and we track in their history, and we see every week, you know, no going any websites that they're not allowed. So that was a really good lesson, similar to what we were talking about. I'm glad this is God's grace. I'm glad this is happening, because like how it happens with your husband, if we didn't cut that on time, maybe there's like, again, curiosity, because they like don't understand, especially like young kids, they don't know, they're watching cartoons with this. And now in the times of like everything open to everybody, and honestly, I'm glad that we cut in the right time, so it didn't create like huge damage, although it did have effect that we actually did source the therapist as well, just to make sure there's nothing linger, and we talked through and guided her through, you know, because you have to watch your kids, and you have to watch your relationship, and you have to watch yourself and your heart, because our desire sometimes pure to be loved and accepted and care for, sometimes like they just can be corrupted, and we can, by curiosity or being tired and thinking like, oh, it's just a song, or it's just a movie, or it's just that. But our mind doesn't understand that. It's just taking, and then it's starting like, ooh, my husband is not like this. How come like my wife not like that? How come my girlfriend doesn't do this to me? And all this unrealistic nonsense that create resentment, hate, and like discontent, and it's just corruption. So when you feel that, and if something happened to you, just seek out help. You just heard Kirsten saying that the problem is when we hide, then it can be a destruction. When you go and you be humble and you surrender to the fact that this is happening, and give it to someone who is professional or trustworthy in the beginning, you know, get those resources, get that help, get healed. And I hope and pray that you were able to heal your relationship with yourself and with your partner or spouse, because you heard this message, because you heard this, lots of good information and help. And I hope it's going to help you or help somebody else. If you know that your girlfriend, friend, anyone who needs to hear the story, please, please share. And honestly, I would like to ask Kristen where people can find you online. And I know that you have a gift for our listeners as well.
It's just my name, KirstenDSamuel.com. That's my website. Also on social media, it's Kirsten D. Samuel. So you can find me on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. I think the only one I'm not on is, well, there's a lot of them, but I'm pretty much, you can find me very, very easily that way. I do have a free gift for you. And this goes back to that early question of, you know, what, when you first discover. And it's a PDF download that I wrote called 11 Lies, 11 Shame-Provoking Lies People Tell About Porn Addiction. And these were lies that I believed. And these are lies that every woman I talk to, most of them come up. And there's a lot of them, but I just picked 11. And it's just a very short little read. But there's resources that are linked in there as well to other websites where you can learn more about it. You know, I loved what you said, Lena, that, you know, it triggers something in our brain. And that is so true. There's actually been studies now done about what happens in the brain when somebody's watching porn. And the interesting thing is the brain will light up when someone's watching porn, just as if they had taken heroin. It is that addictive. And when I read that, you know, broke my heart, because our brains are created in, they're so incredible that our brains will put us in a situation where we are not physically there, but we experience all the emotions, we experience all of that. And that's what makes this type of behavior so addictive, is it triggers all of the really good hormones that we love to feel, that
make
us
it real.
Yeah, that make it real. But the good news about that is your brain can be retrained. It doesn't have to. You can get all of that feeling, all of the goodness and the value and feeling loved and beloved, like you say, in healthy ways. And there's studies now that are coming out that tell us that men or women that have been struggling with porn for years, when they can finally break free from it, when they can get the help they need and they can break free and they do the hard work and they make that first call to that trustworthy friend or to a professional, a coach or a counselor, that all of a sudden, if they're married, their sex life becomes amazing, because they don't have all that other stuff that they've been dealing with. They're not carrying that shame. They're not carrying the guilt. They're not wondering who's going to catch them. Mm-hmm. So KirstenDSamuel.com. The link to get this free resource is KirstenDSamuel.com/11lies-LC. So it stands for your name. So people will know, if they can just remember Lena, then it's 11lies-LC. And I know you'll have that link that you'll drop in there. Also on my website, if somebody is listening to this and like, okay, I just need to talk, there's a, right on that homepage of my website, there's a button that says, let's talk. It's a free 30-minute session. Please click it. Please call me. Don't hold this in any longer. Like Lena said, you're going to have to rip that Band-Aid off and let all that pus come out. But once you do, you're going to find your healing. You're going to start healing. And there are things that we can do. There are techniques and tips and strategies that we can put into place to help you move forward, whether your significant other does or not.
That's really good. Thank you so much. And before I let you go, Kristen, I would like to ask you my signature question. Sure. What does love and to be loved means to you?
It means that I am who I am with another person, that my significance is simply because I am me. I don't have to put on a front. I am accepted. I am fully accepted. I am fully known. And there is such freedom in that kind of love.
That's amazing. Any final thoughts?
I just really appreciate you, Lena. I appreciate what you're doing. Keep doing it. Keep bringing this message to the world. We all need it. And I applaud you for your bravery, for speaking up from the hurts in your life and using that to bring hope and healing to others. Thank you so much for what you do.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your kind words. And honestly, Kirsten, thank you so much for being our guest today. This was a very difficult topic, and I'm so grateful for you being with us and sharing the light. And honestly, I actually feel really good because there are so many good resources, so much hope, and you provide so many insight. It just was so beautiful. Thank you so much. We appreciate you. And our special guest, Kirsten D. Samuel, and we heard amazing life story, how our guest went through the pain of the porn after her husband was found watching porn, and she have to do it hard work and find it who she really was and in this matter, and she have learned how to remove porn from her marriage without getting a divorce. And like I said already, hate the sin, not the person. And from the firsthand experience, Kirsten understand the devastating pain a woman feels, and when she discovers her significant other struggle with the porn abuse. And as a coach, she has empowered hundreds of women. So please, please take that discovery call, because honestly, if you feel alone and you need help, please understand that this amazing woman can help you to find the peace in the mess and help you to discover yourself and heal your broken heart through this process and gain the confidence, and you're gonna create healthy path forward. And again, guys, don't hesitate to reach out to Kirsten. I will post all the links and all the information in my show notes, and stay tuned for another episode of Love and Beloved. And we're going to meet with amazing Christopher Hill. And he is actually talking about serious topics as well. But of course, overcoming adversities and thriving after trauma. And he says, I believe in time. I believe in opportunity. I also believe that shared experiences bring people closer together. And what I have witnessed is that most people feel that they can't share their stories, because often we feel that we are alone, and I want to eradicate that narrative. I desire to bring encouragement and hope to anyone battling silently. So he's perfect fit for the platform of Love and Beloved podcast. And thank you so much for listening and watching now. And thank you so much, Kirsten. I'm so grateful for you and your time.
Thank you, Lena.
All right, guys, looking for these buttons. Okay, bye, guys. And remember, you are never alone. You are loved. You are God's treasure, precious and priceless to Him.
Thank you for listening to Love and Beloved. If you have any questions about what you heard today, visit lovedandbeloved.com. It's love and the letter B with no E, loved.com. Please be sure to subscribe, rate, and share the show. This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. Thank you for your support. If you'd like to connect, we would love to hear from you. So send a quick note to lenasabula@gmail.com. Stay healthy, stay safe, love and be loved.